I love it.
We want to welcome to the show, Congressman Alan West is on the phone line. How you doing today, Congressman West?
Hey, I'm doing very well. You know, just got a notice to call you. I'm here at the airport and get ready to head back down to Florida to see the family for today and take care of business in the district. How's it going for you?
It's going real good. I want to acknowledge you. You did a Black History Spotlight. We're going to run that in a few minutes, but I wanted you to share with our community why is it so important for us to know the history, Black history, regardless if it's Republicans or Democrats.
Well, I think that when you don't know your history, then you can be manipulated as far as your present and of course, your future. So, you know, the speech that I gave the other night was just to say, you know, this is our history as far as from the time when the first African-American members of Congress stood to when I had the opportunity to stand there. And it was an incredible honor, you know, when I think about Josiah T. Walls, who was the last Black Republican from Florida, and he last was there in Congress in 1876. And then I got the privilege and honor to be there, just the same as Tim Scott from South Carolina and the three gentlemen who carried the torch for him. So I think that when, as George Santayana said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I don't want to see our Black community fall into a different form of slavery, not physical slavery, but economic slavery.
Wow. Is there some things that Black people, that African-American community have in common with the Republican Party that they just don't really acknowledge some of the values?
Well, I think that's the thing. You know, when you think about, you know, conservative values of, you know, individual responsibility, accountability, education, you know, faith, family, those are the core fundamental values of the Black community. But, you know, something happens when you go transition from values to votes. And I think that we as a community have to reassess, you know, who we are. And the most important thing that I think is important, we can't put all of our political capital into one investment fund. We need to be able to have a diversified investment account when it comes to our political interests. And when I go back to my neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia, it is a totally different neighborhood than what I grew up in. And I think when I look at many of the urban centers and inner cities all across this country, something's got to change because we're not going to be able to turn around the situation in America if we continue to have, you know, unemployment in the Black community upwards and above anywhere from 13 to 17 or 18%.
Wow. On the phone with Congressman Alan West. You know, poverty never comes up in this election cycle. The only person I heard mention poverty so far has been Centurion. I miss his name up a lot of time. How important is that? How important is talking about poverty and dealing with the poverty issue?
Well, it's incredibly important. And, you know, the poverty issue is not a color issue. It is an American issue. And I think that what we have to look at is how do we ensure economic freedom for all Americans? And, you know, the ability that I had, the opportunities that I had to come from the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia, and now the congressional district that I represent has the highest per capita income zip code in the United States of America. That's Palm Beach Island in Florida.
Wow.
So think about that. You know, back in 1961 when I was born, the district that I represent, my parents couldn't even go to those beaches.
Wow.
You know, they could not have gone to Palm Beach Island. And now, you know, just the exceptionalism of the opportunities that this country affords allows me to have that this capability. And so that's what I don't want us to lose sense of. And that's why I don't want to see a government that is really focused on, you know, making people economically dependent instead of providing that equality of opportunity. It seems the government would rather provide an equality of achievement.
Wow. On the phone, I know you're at the airport. There's a couple more questions. I really appreciate you being available.
Let me tell you, my time is your time. You know, we can do this every month if you want.
Wow.
I'm just so honored that you would want to talk to me.
Wow. It's hard to talk to congresspeople in office.
Not. It shouldn't be.
<It's>,
we work for you guys. I mean, if it's hard, you need to fire whoever your member is.
Well, I'll talk to you later. But how can we get African-Americans to connect with the Republican Party or to think outside of the box?
Well, I tell you, if you go to our website, we had a Congressional Black Forum. This was about 3 weeks ago. And C-SPAN covered the entire 2 hours of it. And so you can pull it down and you can watch it. We're going to have another one in May, and we're going to talk about urban economic empowerment zones. So I think the most important thing we must do is just start the conversation. And start talking about what are our core values, what are our core principles, what were the things that enabled the black community to be a thriving business community, even in the face of segregation and hard times. Because if not, you know, we sing we shall overcome. But when I look at some of the things that are happening on the ground, we ain't there yet.
Well, we got a lot of work to do, huh?
Yeah, I think we do have a lot of work to do, and I think that it comes to going back and studying your past, studying your history, understanding what made us a strong community. Look, we have seen our families be decimated. When you understand that anywhere from about 65% to 71% of young African American children don't have both parents in the home, that's disgusting, and we cannot allow, you know, people to abuse our community like that.
Wow. Wow. When you hear about the educational stats, the literacy rate here in our community, particularly in the poor community, is that something that needs to be addressed in Washington, D.C., or should it be addressed on local levels?
Well, I think that education has become a local level issue. I think the responsibility at the federal government level is to make sure that there is equal access to our all American children to have a superb education, and an education that is relevant for the 21st century, an education that develops critical thinking skills, not just test-taking robots. So I think that we do have to have that conversation about education, but once again, we got to get parents involved in educating our children, because it's not that you just drop the kid off at the door of the school. You got a responsibility to follow up on that. You got to make sure that you're going to parent-teacher conferences. You know, when I retired from the military, you know, I served for 22 years. Mm-hmm. I taught high school in Deerfield Beach, and I recall the parent-teacher conferences. I'm sitting there lonely, man. I'm listening to crickets.
Wow.
And that's not how it should be.
Wow, wow. I know you got to get on the plane. I know, here's a hand clap for you to be available and talk to us. I appreciate that. It means a lot. We're going to post this also up on our Facebook. We got a lot of Facebook friends on our website. And,
yeah.
And I know you got to catch a plane. We definitely got to keep in contact.
Well, we will, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our website is www.west.gov, G-O-V. And, you know, I look forward to talking to you guys every month if we can make that happen.
We'll do that. We definitely do that.
You're talking to the man who can make it happen.
Yes, sir. Right. Thank you. God bless you. Make sure you have a good weekend.
God be with you, and a happy President's Day.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow. Now, you talking about an exclusive?
Yeah.
Congressman Alan West, Florida, South Florida, the only black Republican that I think of.
I think.
Right, Rob? Make, hear me if I'm wrong.
Right. You're about right.
in office. And he gave us time at the drop of a dime. We called him probably about an hour ago. WBS LP 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. There was Congressman Alan West. You heard, just heard him give that speech that he did earlier this week in Congress. We just had him on the phone line. He's in, heading back to Florida. Got Ray Anthony on the phone line. Ray Anthony, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Paul. How are you today?
All right. You've been making sure you share the connection between African Americans and the Republican Party. You do that every day on my page. What make you do that?
Well, you know, as it being Black History Month, I see it as Black History Month is supposed to be an opportunity to educate yourself and and learn about things, you know, in Black history, and I think that it's often forgotten or overlooked or in terms of our history as far as Blacks in this country and the Republican Party, and at this time in our history we make the assumption, or many people anyway, make the assumption that the quote-unquote party of black people in this country is a Democratic Party. And I like to shed light on the fact that simply isn't true.
Right, right. Well, thank you for that, for sending me that video on Congressman Alan West. Definitely been following him. Well-spoken. He knows his history. Something happened though. What happened that the blacks kind of shifted away from the Republican Party? There had to be some kind of shift somewhere in the 1900s.
It was right around. It was in the generally before the 1960s. Mm-hmm. Many people talk about Martin Luther King Jr. And although MLK never officially said what party he was a part of,
mm-hmm.
His niece, swears up and down that he was a Republican, and it would be likely, given most of his family members were, and during that time,
mm-hmm.
that's who people usually identified. Black people usually identified themselves with the Republican Party, so it's likely that he was. After that, sometime is when the shift came. Sometime just after that, and coming into the late 70s, early, certainly into the 80s, mm-hmm. we saw a major change. And it was perpetuated, in my opinion, by the Democratic Party, who every party or every group of people who are looking for votes, it's their job to figure out how to get one group of people or another to mm-hmm. vote for them. And they've done a successful job in it. They perpetuate the lie of the quote-unquote Dixiecrat, the concept that in the 60s, in the mid-60s, all the racists in the South switched over and became Republicans. And the truth is that was very small in numbers. I mean, they always like to mention, who is it they're always mentioning in terms of the Dixiecrat? It was one particular, Trent Lott, I think, was the one who was one of the guys who switched. But the vast majority, the ones that I would consider the solid racist of the Southern Democrats, they stuck with the Democratic Party. People like Byrd and Al Gore's dad and other guys like that who were firmly against any kind of equal rights, they stuck with the Democratic Party. Hmm. And later they claimed that they were reformed and whatever. And maybe they were, because I don't know their hearts.
Right.
But the truth is, those hardcore people, the people who put together the Jim Crow laws, who didn't want to integrate the schools and the military and other things, they stayed with their party. The lie of the Dixiecrat is unfortunate. What really happened is those guys down there, the South had a lot more Democrats than Republicans before the 1960s or mid-60s.
Hmm.
And a lot of those guys that were Democrats who fought against the Civil Rights Movement, they retired.
Okay.
The people who came in, the people who were the new majority in the South, were those that were there after the Civil Rights and during it, those who accepted that and promoted that. And yes, they were primarily Republicans. And in the South now, we have a lot more Republican versus Democrat. But it was not a switch of, hey, the racists moved from one party to the other. It's a fabrication. And it's things like that that have helped convince people of that lie.
Right. Is traditional Republicans against welfare?
No, I don't think so. I think Alan West, Representative West, said it best. The Republican Party as a whole is not against a safety net. They're not against. We are not against having welfare or a food assistance or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're against it becoming a lifetime achievement. The concept is, for me, and I'll be honest, I mean, I've had assistance before in my life, in recent years,
mm-hmm.
but I used it as I believe it's supposed to be used, which you get, you're having some troubles, you use it because it helps you get back on your feet. No one wants someone to starve or go without shelter, and you help you get back on your feet, you move on, and you move on with the rest of your life.
Right.
And, I think Alan West said it, he said, we're not against the safety net, we're against the safety net becoming a hammock.
Mm.
We're against being this lifetime, this generational assistance, generational welfare. And that's, so no, as a whole, the Republican Party is not against a safety net.
Right.
We're just against it becoming a way of life.
Right. Thanks, man. Thanks for getting this information. Thanks for getting it to me. And we're definitely going to be keeping in contact with Congressman Alan West. So.
And you got me jealous, though. I've never had the opportunity to speak with a man, so I would love to have interviewed him. But
right.
Good for you, and I know that you mentioned, I think, that he's interested in being a regular a regular part of your show, and and that's good. We need people out there who are, because I don't think I didn't get to hear the interview, but he doesn't come off as confrontational necessarily.
Oh, no.
He comes out, and hopefully people take him that way and understand that he's trying to move people in a direction and educate them about the truth. And we need people I come off, at least especially on Facebook, I think I come off incredibly confrontational because people get all mad at me.
Yeah, because you can write kind of harsh, you know, Ray.
I had to block, you know, I've only ever blocked 3 people on Facebook, and 2 of them are off of your Facebook page. Absolutely out of control, calling me all kinds of things. Having no place to do so. It's not your fault. You allow free speech on your page.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
But 2 of the people I've ever blocked on Facebook out of the thousands of people I've talked to are on your page. So.
Yeah, y'all was going at it.
I'd love to call them out. You know.
I know who you're talking about. I think they know. One of them is not even here. One of them stay down in Georgia, and I know I know y'all be going at it, man. It's been funny.
I don't want to say names like Nemeth, but you know.
And honestly, I'll tell you, you two are great people, man. As individuals,
right.
And yeah, she's as passionate about her views, and you passionate about yours. I know both of y'all are great people, I don't think neither one of you want to surrender. Y'all great debaters. So she got something, you got to say something. You just keep going back and forth until it's nonstop. But I got called to being racist, having racist comment, because I said I was DJing a party. I was the only black there, and I was worried about what music to play. And Whitney Houston CD saved me. Her music was universal. That's what I said. And I got accused of having a racist comment. So people always got different views on things. And I just learned that we all different. And
yes.
To sign up for Facebook, they don't have you go through no psychological evaluation or anything. So you just create a screen name and log in. Anybody could do that.
Absolutely.
Ray, man, thanks.
I appreciate it, sir.
All right, take care. Talk to you later.
All right. All right.